the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That hymn that we just sang, Thy Strong Word, was written by a Lutheran pastor, lived not quite 100 years ago, named Martin Franzmann. And he also wrote a kind of famous sermon on our gospel reading today. And the title of the sermon was, The Man Who Went Home with Only a Word in His Pocket. That's a really cool title, and it's part of why it's made it so famous. But here you have in our gospel reading a man who took Jesus' word and pocketed it and traveled all the way home with it that his son would live. And this morning I want to tell you, kind of give you that guy's full story, and then tell you why I think it matters to you and me. So it's roughly 25 miles from Capernaum to Cana. And if you don't know where they're at, it doesn't matter. Just know there's 25 miles between them. The father, who's coming to find Jesus, lives in Capernaum, and Jesus is in Cana. So 25-mile walk. So roughly that's, I was trying to think, best. What could you compare this best way? Let's say walking to Eureka and back. I believe it's about 13 miles. So it would be about 26, so not quite. So roughly how long would it take you to do that? To start here right now, you walk to Eureka and get back. How long do you think? The average miles per hour walking, I looked it up, is 3.1. That's average. So 3.1 take about 8 hours maybe. How many of you think you could do this in 8 hours, walk to Eureka and back? Maybe not, right? I don't think I probably could. So let's say you could, though. Let's say, theoretically, you're going to make the average 3.1. Let's say you get up about 6 a.m. in the morning, sun just coming up, and you start walking. You're going to make it there and back by 2 o'clock. Okay? That'd be a pretty good hike. Well, our guy did it in less than that. He got up, I mean, almost certainly, at 6 a.m. that day when the sun came up, and he left Capernaum and walked 25 miles uphill, by the way. You know how everybody always says we walk both ways uphill or whatever. Well, this was actually uphill because Capernaum is by the Sea of Galilee. The elevation is lower. So he walks uphill, you know, maybe it was a pretty gradual hill, but walks uphill 25 miles and he gets there by probably noon. And the reason we're pretty certain about that is because John makes it very clear. It was the seventh hour when Jesus said, your son will live. That would be 1 o'clock. Seventh hour from the sunrise. So 1 o'clock. So that was a good hike, right? He was making some good time. But for all of this, okay, leaving Capernaum, his son is dying and he leaves him. Not many fathers would be willing to do that. For all of this, leaving his son, getting up, walking 25 miles, he gets to Jesus and says, I need you to come down and heal my son. And Jesus gives him what? A rebuke. He says, oh, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Why would Jesus say that? This is one of those times, it's not like the Jesus we usually picture, right? But Jesus wants to be very clear to you and me also. Okay? I mean, we sinners are always just looking for signs and wonders. Jesus isn't enough for us. We want more. We want him to heal our friend who, you know, is dying of cancer. We want him to solve all our problems. We want him to fill our bank accounts. We want him to make our families perfect. On and on. We want signs and wonders. But our guy is persistent. Even when he gets rebuked by Jesus, he says, no, Jesus, come down before my child dies. And so Jesus says, go. Your son will live. Now then comes the absolutely crucial part. Okay? I mean, this is where it's all thrown down for this guy. What will he do? Will he accept that? Will he accept just one word from Jesus, go, your son will be okay? Or will he insist, no, Jesus, I want you to come with me. I want you to come over to Capernaum and heal him. Or will he insist for more than just a word? You got to give me some kind of sign, Jesus. Or will he get belligerent because he feels like Jesus is just ignoring his request, sending him away with nothing? But no, he doesn't do any of that. He believes the word. And as Martin Franzmann said in his sermon, he took that word and put it in his pocket and carried it for 25 miles. Now, he didn't make it back in one day because by 1 o'clock and all this happening, he's not going to make this whole trip back in one day. So he spends the night somewhere. And the next morning, he's, you know, probably he's more than halfway back, and he runs into his servants. They have left Capernaum to come and get him because the son is recovering. And so, of course, they're all elated to see each other. And he says, what's going on? They say, your son's doing better. And he says, what time? What time did it happen? When did he start to get better? And they say, the seventh hour. And he says, that's exactly when Jesus said, my son would live. And here's the real miracle, right? Not that the son lived. That's a pretty cool miracle. But the miracle comes next, and John spells it out exactly for us. It says, he himself believed, and all his household. Everybody believed because of Jesus' word. So think about it this way. That word that Jesus spoke traveled 25 miles. Jesus, from his mouth in Cana, he spoke it, go, your son will live. And that word went all the way to the ears of that whole household in Capernaum. They all heard it. And miracle of miracles, they all believed. The speed of sound is about, again, I looked all this up, I don't know any of this. Speed of sound is about 768 miles per hour. So if we were to, you know, if we were to imagine, which of course it isn't, if we were to imagine that Jesus' voice was strong enough to, you know, be spoken in Canaan, be heard in Capernaum, it would still take, because the speed of sound, 768 miles per hour, to get that 25 miles would still take about 2 minutes from when he spoke it in Cana to when they heard it in Capernaum. But of course, that didn't even happen, right? But it still, it got there in instantaneous time. And the Guinness Book of World Records says that the normal male voice can only be heard, you know, intelligibly, for about 600 feet. So like I'm speaking now, if it was the right day and there weren't walls blocking the voice, 600 feet is about normal human voice. The record, the Guinness World Record, is there's a group of people in Spain, they have this whistling language that can be heard for 5 miles. Still not even close, right? 25 miles. Jesus spoke it and it entered this father's son 25 miles away and healed him. That's the power of Jesus' word. But this isn't all, right? It gets better. Jesus' word can not only travel 25 miles, but it can travel over 6,000 miles. Because that's about the distance from Cana in Galilee to El Paso, Illinois. Over 6,000 miles. And you all are hearing his voice this morning. Go, your son will live. And not only, of course, 6,000 miles, but 2,000 years it has traveled to reach your ears. Go, your son will live. And you are hearing that word of Jesus, and it is working in you the same way it worked in this father and in all of his household. Now, it's not curing you of fever or keeping you from dying, but it's working the exact miracle it worked in them, which is faith in Jesus Christ. You don't need signs and wonders, see? You and I, we have something so much better than any sign or wonder. It's our sinful nature, which we all understand, to want more than that. We want to test God. We want him to give us something more, right? Something more than your word. God, give me some kind of sign. Heal my friend, and then I'll know. Then I'll believe you, God. Or let the Cubs win the World Series, God, and then we will all know, right? We do this. We look for little things each day, you know, that might be happening, little signs, things that God might be speaking to us. Maybe a parking spot opens up, or the day goes just as we planned it, or we find a really good deal on something we were looking for. And we just intuitively think, oh, God is doing this. God is working miracles for me, right? And yet all the while we're doing that silly stuff, we're passing over the greatest miracle that he does all the time, the greatest sign and wonder, which is his word. God is talking to us. Go, your son will live. His word tells us these indisputable things, right? That God loves you. That God loves you, right? You are hearing the voice of God saying, I love you no matter what happens. That is a miracle. Or you're hearing his word telling you that all of your sins are forgiven. You don't need any great, magnificent sign or wonder. You have God's word saying, I forgive you all your sins, that Jesus died on Good Friday with all your sins with him, and he rose on Easter morning to give you eternal life. You have His word that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about that, how we're always looking for these little signs to see if God is with us when we have His word saying, I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. You have His word that says, I will work all things for your good and for the good of everyone. That word of God travels. Go, Jesus says. You will live. That's what He told the Father. You will live. Think about that. His son was going to die. Maybe not that day, but he would die. But Jesus told him, go, your son will live. Live what way? Live eternally. That's His promise to all of us. You will live through whatever this day brings. You will live eternally. You will live through this illness into eternal life. You will live through this presidential election. God save us, right? We will live through it to eternal life. We will live through a failing United States if that's what happens. You will live through disasters like Hurricane Matthew, which people are suffering greatly after. You will live. Go, you will live. You will live through tomorrow. You will live through the next day. You will live through this entire week because of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and His word. So you and I then, we want to make sure that that word of God is traveling into our ears and into our hearts as often as possible. Here at church, at home, when we're doing devotions, doing your portals of prayer, reading, praying, make sure that word of God is traveling into the ears and hearts of your children and your grandchildren, doing Bible stories with them, praying with them. That word of God works. It is a miracle. All you have to do is ask this one guy from Capernaum and ask his family. Ask him who traveled 25 miles with just that word of Jesus, and he believed it. Because that word of Jesus is all that you and I need. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll stand now, and we're going to confess together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For an increase of faith for all of us Christians, that just as the Father heard and believed the Lord's word, so we too would hear the Lord's promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation and believe them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, for Presidents Harrison and Miller, for our congregation and the congregations of our circuit, that all of us together would proclaim God's love for the world in Christ Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all officials in our government, that they would be kept safe, healthy, and be given wisdom to carry out their duties, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those running for office in November and for all citizens who will vote, that God would direct and govern all things to promote peace and justice in our nation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those serving in the military, that God would bless them and their families with his peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those who work in agriculture by tending to God's creation, that they would be protected from harm throughout this harvest season and would be led to thankfulness for all of God's gifts. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are sick in any way or suffering in body or mind or recovering, for Gordon Eichelberger, for Mel Duncan, for Donna Ritterbush, and for the Wooten family, that they would all receive God's peace in the midst of their afflictions and would be given healing and help wherever it is needed. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our confirmation students, for Ben and Xander and Jamie and Ella and Jillian and Isabel, that they would grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, their Savior, and that they would trust his word. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the victims of Hurricane Matthew in Haiti and all throughout our eastern coast, that they would all be given the needed help from their trials and that they would find peace in their Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all these for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.